We are coming to this day, and we're coming to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. We'll pick up in chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 7. And our focus here this morning will be verse 5. And so as we do kind of speak toward Mother's Day and mothers, I want to also let you know, if you're not a mother, that doesn't mean you need to tune out, because I can preach this same message I'm going to preach, and it applies to every soul that is here and what we do as we talk about the legacy we leave. I could preach this message to you, whether you've been married and have kids or don't have kids. There's a legacy that all of us who are followers of Christ that can leave this morning. And so, like I said, we are turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 to 7. If you found 2 Timothy, let's all rise in the honor of reading God's word this morning. As Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, and which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I persuade it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray this morning. Dear your Lord God, as we come into your sanctuary today, Lord, we come into your word, and Lord, may everything else in our mind be pushed out, that we may focus on your word here this morning, and that your spirit would move, and that your spirit would guide, that your preaching of your word would have a transformational power that only you can do. Lord, may we become believers, and Lord, for those who are believers, Lord, may we love you more and more, being molded and shaped for the culture that we have impact in, that they would come to know you as Savior and Lord. And so, Lord, we dedicate our time here this morning to you, and we give you praise. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so you may be seated this morning. So that's some context. And so what's going on here as we're in our text this morning? Paul is in prison. And that's nothing really new. We know that Paul has been in prison. This is actually his second imprisonment as he is writing this letter. And here's what we need to know by this. Paul will not leave prison alive. He will die this time. During this period of time, he writes several letters, but he writes this one particular that we call 2 Timothy. He writes it to his young protege in the ministry, and which we would remember that we would, when, as we read through Acts, Paul on his missionary journey, he finds Timothy, and he finds, who we're told in the text, his grandmother, who is Lois, and his mother, who is Eunice. And so throughout the letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he is encouraging Timothy to remain faithful to the faith. He's writing Timothy to persevere in the work of the gospel despite the sufferings and the trials and the tribulations, and he is encouraging Timothy to continue to preach the word. And that's the encouragement he has given to Timothy. Timothy has been given the reins of being, in essence, the pastor, the elder, the under-shepherd of the flock there. And he is continuing on. And Paul, who has poured so much into him, he continues on in that. In our passage this morning, we see Paul, he is giving thanks to God for Timothy, the work of the gospel that he sees in him, and also through Timothy's ministry that he is doing. And he prayerfully encourages him to press on in the faith for the glory of God. May we this morning be encouraged to press on in the faith for the glory of God. For our purpose this morning, we're going to focus in on verse 5. In verse 5, we read that there's a commendation that Paul writes, and he writes of Timothy's faith in God. And in that, we see there's a heritage, there's a lineage. There's a heritage and lineage of faith that he talks about that was seen in Timothy's grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. That though he had influence in the life of Timothy, and that many of us here give praise to God because God granted us with faithful mothers or faithful grandmothers. If y'all shared with me your testimony, who have lived their lives as a witness and a testimony and a confession to the greatness of God. And so for that we say praise God, and we thank you for that. And we understand that they lived lives that pointed people to Jesus Christ. And some of us sit here today because of that. So we come to Mother's Day 2026, and would be amiss not to acknowledge that we live in a culture, that there is a debate in our culture regarding being a mother, and also a debate in our culture regarding motherhood. Questions abound out there of why be a mother. In some ways, are mothers necessary? And then kind of filtered into this, and multiple questions would fall under this, what does motherhood even look like? And we could go on, and we could sense this. We understand, man, what our culture says is highly different than what God's Word says. And I may or may not be able to answer some of those questions for us this morning, but we do need to acknowledge this. That the God of all creation, and the God and Lord Himself, in Genesis created, the most important organization ever created in human history, we call it the family. We were to go back and we were to look in Genesis, and we would read there that God took Adam, and then not finding a suitable mate for him in all of creation, took a rib out of Adam and he created Eve. And God Himself partnered Adam and Eve together, and He made them husband and He made them wife, husband and wife. And they were united together. And at that point, we get a biblical picture of marriage and therefore the family. Following the fall, we go to Genesis chapter 3, and we understand there was a fall. Sin entered the world. Coming out of that, they leave the garden, and from there, Adam and Eve will have children. And the word will continue through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the remainder of the Old Testament, into the New Testament. And we see the question begins. The question that is asked of every generation: will the next generation walk with the Lord? Will the next generation of individuals, of families, will they gather together and in raising children and building a family, will the next generation walk with the Lord? Will they find saving faith found only in Jesus Christ? So our question, so how do we as the people of God, following God's model for marriage, following God's model for family, how do we build a legacy? How do we build a heritage of faith that is designed to outlive us? We come and go. May the heritage of the faith of Christ live on past us. So I think I'm going to share some principles with us that are here to help us guide, to help us direct us in what is the greatest work that we will ever have, passing on the glory of God to the next generation, looking to the generation that is yet to be born. that they may know God. And so what are we building for the glory of God? What will we be known for in our current day and age? And what is the legacy by which we will leave those? And so how do we build this legacy? And like I said, we focus on verse 5. Paul writes and he says, "Man, when I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded is in you." So first and foremost, how do we continue? How do we build this legacy of faith? First and foremost, you must have a genuine faith. See, we see Paul here, and he writes, and he says, "Man, I've seen this faith. I saw it in your grandmother, I saw it in your mother." And he says, and he is encouraging, he says, "Man, I see that same faith in you." Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Genuine in the sense means that it is real. In essence, that it has been tested by the days and the age, and he has been found to continue to be faithful and believe. So that's all part of genuine faith. And so what do we see? Man, how do you get to genuine faith? First, you got to realize that you are a sinner. What is sin? Sin is the choice we made to disobey God. It's where we have not followed God's rules, not followed God's way. And we have said, "I am my own master and my own Lord. I'm going to do things the way I want. I'm going to satisfy my flesh." And all of us have done that. How do we have genuine faith? First, we got to realize, man, I'm a sinner. And I stand before a holy and righteous God. Man, I'm accountable for my sin. Paul writes in Romans, "The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life." So we realize that we're a sinner, and when we realize that, we also come to the realization we are people in need of a Savior. Who is that? Jesus Christ. From before the foundations of the world were laid, Christ came. While we were all still sinners, Christ came, that my sin may be atoned for. So we turn not to ourselves for our salvation, but we turn to Jesus Christ and we repent. And in that repentance, we say, "Lord, forgive me." And we say, "Lord, forgive me, and I surrender it all to you." And by faith, we believe that our salvation is found through Jesus Christ. So you got to have a genuine faith to build a legacy, because you can't build something you don't have a ownership of to begin with. You can't build a kingdom. You can't become a part of the citizen of the kingdom of God if you're not first a citizen. You can't. It's impossible. So Paul references that Timothy has genuine faith. What does he see, man? He said that was first found in his grandmother and his mother. So we must have a genuine faith. What's the second point that we need if we're going to build a legacy of faith, if we're going to build a heritage of faith that God would continue to be glorified? Well, first we'll say, man, what? That we need to commit to a life of faith. And I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in verse 4. As we look to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we wanted verse 4, and yeah, we're headed back to called the Shema. Timothy, being Jewish, raised up, his grandmother and his grandmother would have known this, and most likely probably recited this daily. But if we're going to build a legacy, we're going to have a genuine faith, and we got to commit to a life of faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6, picking up in verse 4, we hear, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then if we read in the New Testament, I believe it's in Mark, Christ quotes this, and he said, "We shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength." And so first, if you have a genuine faith, the second thing that you need is you are committed to a life of faith. Why? Because you love God with everything. You love God with everything that you have. And you have surrendered all to Him. This speaks of relationship. We have a relationship with God. We are walking with God. We are living with Him. And we are continuing to grow and mature in the faith. And how does that happen? By spending time with the Lord. And what does that look like? Man, it looks like being in God's Word. Man, it looks like being in prayer. Man, it looks like coming and dwelling and being with other believers as we what? Are in God's Word and in God's prayer. It is committing that God is first and foremost in my life. And so we got to have a genuine faith. That genuine faith is going to lead us to be a committed follower and believer as we walk daily with Christ. And we want to build a heritage. We want to build a legacy that outlasts ours, because that is how God established it of the family. And how do we do this? But we got to be intentional. See, that's an important word right there. Intentional. That means we meant to do it. There is a purpose for how we live. And so what is this? In this aspect, we're building a heritage. We're building the family of God. And we want our children to come to faith in Christ. They cannot come to faith in Christ if they do not hear of Him. If they do not see Him lived out. And so we got to be intentional in sharing the faith that we say we have in us. We got to be intentional about living that out in front of our children. Continuing back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 6. Remember, we just read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Picking up in verse 6, this is how we live that faith out. The author of Deuteronomy writes, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Here's what you do with them. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Man, what is this talking about? Man, it's talking about that we are living out the faith that is in us in front of the children that God has blessed us with. You say, well, I don't have kids. Well, then you are living out the faith that God has given you that is in your life, what? Intentionally in front of anybody else you meet. Why? That they may know that you belong to God. It's often said there are things that are much better caught than taught. And if you've raised kids, if you don't know this, let me let you in on a clue. They look at everything you do. But unfortunately for us, they see everything we do. Good, bad, and all in between. And so we understand there are things that are better caught than taught. And so we do our best to lead and guide and to intentionally guide them along the path. We're going to ask this question, have your kids ever caught you being faithful to the Lord? Man, have they ever caught you being faithful to the Lord? See, it speaks volumes in what we do. And so what do we see that the author of Deuteronomy is talking about? There's aspects. We understand, man, you shall teach them and you got to be diligent about that. And then there's this process. It says what? That you shall talk with them when you're sitting in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. What does that mean? Man, you take every opportunity, because every opportunity in life is an opportunity to shape the worldview in the worldview of what is the Bible saying. What is the Bible telling us to do here? How is the Bible telling us to act? And so all of those are opportunities. And so in our day and age, we'd say, well, man, as you're eating breakfast, as you're riding in the car to go to school, to go to work, to go to soccer, dance, whatever it is, those are all opportunities. As you lie down at night, those are all opportunities. And then we get and we read, and it talks about that these things, these commandments of God, they should be as signs, just like they were on your hand. And yeah, we can get in and we can talk about the Jews would take this literally. And they would wrap little boxes around their hands with scripture stuffed in them. There'd be a thing on their doorposts or their gateposts with scripture stuck in them. But is your house a house that is known to follow God's word and to follow God? Intentionally living out a life of faith before them. You also need to understand this is not a sprint. This is a lifelong process. It's not overnight. It's not a once and done, but it is a faithfully every morning, every night, every day, walking out, walking with God. It's a commitment to the things of God. Primarily what? A love of His Word. Man, it's also a commitment what? To be faithful and obedient to God's Word. Man, do I follow His commands? Am I obedient to those? It's also intentional in this. Are we willing to sacrifice the good for the best? Been in several leadership things that they talk about what's the enemy of the best. It's not the bad. It's the good. And so are we willing to sacrifice what is good for what is best? And it matters what we, as believers of God, it matters what we share. And there's a cultural aspect of what do we see? Man, the culture is telling us to do all these things, and this is what success looks like. This is how you know that you have made it. And oftentimes those run counter to what God's Word in its whole entirety said. And so we need to understand there's a difference from leaving a spiritual legacy and a difference in leaving maybe a physical legacy. Physical when we think financial or we think material or something of those natures. And those two are not equal because the legacy of faith will far outlast whatever numbers are on the bank account, whatever property that is here. And so are we willing to sacrifice for what is best? Do we share the glories of God or the greatness of the things of this world? Which one of those takes priority? We understand what? The sacrifice means there's decisions that got to be made. And they ain't always easy. And they are difficult. Why? Because we talked just recently, just a minute ago, we hear a message out of the world. We are a message from the culture of our world. What's it saying, man? The culture of our world, the world that we oftentimes refer to it, has an idea of what is right, what is wrong. The culture of our world has an idea of what it means to love people. The culture of our world has an idea of what relationships mean and look like. Man, the culture of our world has an idea of what family should look like. The culture of our world has an idea of what your job should be. And the culture of our world has an idea of what the priorities of your life shall be. Now, what do we understand? Oftentimes, the culture of our world, and particularly in our day and age, the culture of our world runs contrary to God's Word. The culture of our world runs contrary to God's world. So what are we as believers to do? Are we willing to sacrifice good things of the here and now for the important things of God above? So how do we answer this? Man, what do we do with this? I'll tell you this. become countercultural. Be counter to the culture. We may go, what in the world does that look like? Number one, just continue to be faithful and obedient to God's word and what he has called to do. I want to quote, I want to read Romans chapter 12, first couple verses here. Love this passage of scripture so much. Paul writing to the believers, he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So we're planning to intentionally shepherd those who are others, that they would come to faith. And we have the genuine faith. We're living a committed life. We're intentionally sharing into those individuals, sharing into our kids. We're making the sacrifice for what is best in the eyes of God. We're making difficult sacrifices because we want to be conformed not to the world, but to God himself, because he has transformed us and he has given us discernment to be able to walk those days and to walk in those ways. And what's the result of that? We'll see as we're back in Timothy, and you just flip over probably a page in your Bible to chapter 3. So we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're picking up in verse 15. Paul is talking about the importance of the Word of God and what we see. And he references in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy what he mentioned in chapter 1, verse 5. And he says this, and knowing that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. See, that's the end goal. That's the result that we look for. Man, that from childhood, they would know the Scriptures. That they would know and understand faith in God, that they would understand salvation in God, and that they would become disciples that are making disciples. Man, we're building a legacy. We're committed because we love God with everything. We're trying to be intentional. We come to this point, what do we hope? That our kids will take up the mantle and run with it. We also need to realize this. It has to be their decision. It has to be their decision. There has to come a day in their life when they surrender to Christ, just like we did. There has to be a day when they realize that they are a sinner, that they have repented of their sins, and they believe in Jesus Christ. And at that point, what do? We have a genuine faith. We're committed to living out the Christian life for the glory of God. We are intentional in what we do. Final point for this morning. Simply this. Trust in God. Place them, the kids, in the hands of God. Because we can do nothing less. See, what is, we trust them in God's hands. And there's a couple things I think we acknowledge right here. See, there is a reality that sometimes exists that we have done our best to be intentional in living out of faith before the children. We have done our best to instill the faith in them, and there has come a point and they walked away. And we understand, man, there's a reality to that. The reality is not what we had hoped for, has become something else. They did not embrace the faith. What do? We lay them at the feet of God. We pray for them. We continue to plead before God that the Holy Spirit would move mightily in their life. We take the opportunities we have to be Christ in their life. Whether that is speaking words of affirmation, whether that is doing the acts of just being a believer. But we put them in the hands of God. What's the other way? Well, the other way is they do come to faith. And we need to realize, number one, we have been faithful to God. And now we turn them over to God to be used as He sees fit. We trust that God knows what is best for our children. And guess what? We gotta let go. Gotta let go. Because what God has called them to do may not have even been all the years of planning that you would thought would be their life. We put them in God's hands and let them go. And we do what? Continue to be faithful to God. Parents praying for kids. Grandparents praying for grandkids. Praying for great-grandkids. And all the nieces and nephews and everybody in between. As we what? Continue to live faithfully before God, that a generation might come to know Christ, a generation that at this moment is not yet born, because we have been faithful. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank You for You being the faithful, holy, righteous God. Lord, may we be people that love You with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. That You would be glorified and honored and lifted up and praised. And Lord, while we celebrate mothers this day, may we understand that all of us can help build a legacy if we just surrender to You. So Lord, move mightily in our day and age, and Lord, continue to be God in a great and mighty way. And Lord, we dedicate this time to You, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.